B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check out a list of the top 25 games of the 90s. Plus, EA's games are coming back to Steam. Could this mean that the launcher wars are officially over?
Oh, please.
Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about Death Stranding. Death Stranding's final trailer, its launch trailer, has hit the internet and everyone seems real confused.
It's so nothing's changed.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of...
I think something has changed, actually.
Yeah, you seem to be the most impressed by this. So yeah. I got to get your take on it. What really stood out about this trailer to you?
Okay, so... Yeah, obviously it's still confusing and we don't have the best idea, but for the first time, that trailer didn't feel like it was confusing for the sake of being confusing. All the other trailers that come out, it's been like to kind of like further the narrative of, oh, it's Kojima, it's gonna be weird.
Sure.
And that's funny the first time and it gets real tedious as it goes on. This time I was like, yeah, it's still weird and I still don't know everything about it, but there was actual gameplay in it. I have some concept of what I'm going to be doing and what to expect. I saw him throw a grenade. There's some element of combat in this game.
I mean, we've seen combat, but yeah. I will agree with you that this is the first time that I think we've seen a clear distinction of who are protagonists and antagonists really are.
Where everyone
like it's
fits.
The first time can we say, okay, bad guy, good guy, maybe some people in the middle, maybe. I think it's the first time we really saw all of that put together.
A little bit, because I had kind of put Mads Mikkelsen's character in the sort of enemy territory to begin with, and now this is sort of and his presence, I think, is what interests me the most out of this trailer. Mm-hmm. Shows that even his character isn't necessarily really on one side or the other.
We don't know that, though.
No, we still don't know.
I mean, because what I saw, so what you're talking about at the beginning of the trailer is literally one of the first things we see is Matt Mikkelsen's character
with BB,
with the little baby, the jar baby, and, you know, is running out of some lab, clearly trying to protect this baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that we know that the baby is central to the storyline. It's central to protecting you from those ghost specter things that are around. We know that it's central.
You know it's important because it has its own theme song.
It has a theme song. But at the same time, we don't know if his plans for BB are benevolent or dubious.
What his plans may or may not be, this scene now, there's some sort of empathy there from me, because prior to this it was him standing in a giant pool of oil with skeletons and he flicked a cigarette and they were flaming skeletons. So prior to this he was evil.
I don't think that it clears up any distinction of who's on what side. I do think, you know, we have a lot of hints at what you're going to be doing. Obviously, reconnecting the United States is
going west. It sounds like
is a big thing, and yeah, going west. And you know, I'm so intrigued by what this game is. I'm seeing elements. And this really reinforces a lot of what I, you know, my first read of the trailer, of the very first trailer was. I'm seeing a lot of elements of Neon Genesis Evangelion. Yep. I'm seeing a lot of elements of, you know, like neo-futurism, you know, post-apocalyptic, you know, sort of themes. And all of this is sort of being layered into this really interesting pastiche of you know, the presentation. The overall presentation of the game. And yeah, I don't think that until we play it as the game presents it to us, we will understand it. And even then, it may take a couple of playthroughs, as is typical of a Hideo Kojima game.
And another thing, too, that I'm really looking forward to in terms of playing it is, we know, you know, you take something like Metal Gear Solid 3, which to me is probably Kojima's masterpiece. It's probably, in my opinion, his best game.
I would agree.
I look at that game, and when you play through it, the first trailers and the first sort of smatterings of that game, it told you what it was, but there was no way for you to understand the experience that you were about to have. And that's sort of indicative of Kojima games. And I think everything that we've seen, everything that's been shown to us, I still think that there's going to be so much to this game.
Yeah.
That this is not just the tip of the iceberg. This is the tip of the tip of the iceberg.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about the final trailer for Death Stranding. By the way, Death Stranding is coming out on November 8th for the PlayStation 4. Hideo Kojima, famous for a whole ton of games, including the Metal Gear Solid series. This being his first game, now not under the Konami umbrella, under the Sony umbrella.
There's no one to hold the reins, man.
It does feel like there's no one holding back Kojima, and he's really just pursuing any kind of crazy idea that he has. Mm-hmm. It's like
that should excite and terrify you.
It does. It is.
But I love that, though. I love that.
But here's the thing. What if it comes out and it's totally incomprehensible to the
Heaven's Gate.
To the point where it's like, I don't know how, you know, like the majority of people play it and they're like, I really don't know how I feel about
that. I think that's fine. I think that's okay. Because, like, here's how I feel.
Sony's not going to think that's okay.
No. First of all, if you think that they're not going to make tons of money on this game, they will. But the thing is that I love a studio and I love a game where somebody is taking clear risks, very clear risks, and they want to put out a vision that they want to put out, completely unfettered by the vestiges of microtransactions and loot boxes and all these clear profit-driven motives when it comes to making a video game. And I really love both Sony and Kojima Studio saying, we want to make the game that we want to make. I love that. I love that infinitely, and if it bombs and it comes out and is completely incomprehensible, at this point, as long as I got my 60.
What if it's worse than incomprehensible?
What if it's a bad game?
What if it's boring?
Ooh,
see, that's the worst.
My issue, because everything that I see that's like story cutscene related, it like deeply moves me and has my curiosity like in a bear trap. But what I'm afraid is going to happen is the stuff in between it, the delivery, the connecting, that's going to be so boring to me that I'm not willing to go through it to get to the next.
You're
going to
sit there
set of cutscenes
saying, hey, you wanted to make a movie. Why didn't you just make a movie? Because the gameplay is awful.
Yeah. No, I really hope it's not that, but, you know, I really enjoy almost everything Kojima makes, even from a gameplay perspective. Yeah. And a lot of people felt that way about Metal Gear 5, because the sandboxes in that world are ginormous, and it takes a long time to get
from one
part to
another. But the gameplay was fundamentally fun. Zone of Enders is a better, like, I'm worried about it being Zone of Enders.
See, I actually like Zone. Actually,
Zone of Enders 2 was fine.
Zone of Enders 2 I really liked.
Zone of Enders 1 was really not
bad.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I went back for the HD upgrade and it was not very good at all.
No, it's not very good, and it's a little bit too, you know, contained, but I don't think it is a quote unquote terrible bad game.
No, I wouldn't say that.
It's average. It's average AF. Zone of Enders is average AF.
Well, and I think the bottom line here for all of us, no matter whether you're into it or not,
we really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
We truly don't.
But I like that.
I'm hoping for more Psychonauts than Zone of Enders.
Really,
but that's just me.
I really enjoy that. I mean, when's the last time you had a game where you just went in and you say, I don't know what this is, but I'm here for the ride?
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you in for the ride? Are you going to be purchasing Death Stranding when it comes out on November 8th? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, EA games are coming back to Steam. Are we just just done with the launcher wars. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we've got a list of the top 25 games of the 90s. How many can you name? Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The 90s. They were a fun time, right?
The best times.
They were all doused in neon and drinking Slimer, High C.
Having pogs.
That's right. Oh, pogs. Welcome back to Checkpoint.
Pog Champ.
Not quite the same thing. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports WBSM 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama, and News Talk WGAC 580 and 95.1 in Augusta, Georgia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. It's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a list of the top 25 games of the 90s, and I'm excited to see where Toe Jam and Earl end up on this list.
Oh, boy.
It is worth noting at the beginning of this, this is not, like, ordered from 1 to 25. These are just the top 25 games of the 90s. I will also note for you guys that there are very few franchise repeats on here. I only see two instances of more than one game from a franchise appearing on this list.
Fair enough.
So I'm just going to let you guys have at it. Take some guesses.
I am going to go with my first guess, which is, of course, Toe Jam and Earl.
Toe Jam and Earl is not on this list.
This list is objectively trash.
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter is also not on here.
At all? Garbage list.
I'm not okay.
Okay,
with
see,
this.
I was about to go for some low hanging fruit, but now I'm actually a little bit concerned.
Street Fighter should definitely be the lowest of the hanging fruit there
Final
is for the 90s.
Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy VII does make this list.
Right,
it
really,
is the only Final Fantasy on this list.
What?
However,
triple garbage.
Yep.
Who is. Made this?
Let me see. That was made by the fine folks over at Game Savvy.
I don't know. I'm starting to question Game Savvy's credentials. Is it on me?
Yep.
Am I
going?
Oh, okay, back to me. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog is on the list. Absolutely. Norris, over to you.
Mega Man.
Mega Man, great one. Not on the list.
Oh, no! Mega Man left off the list?
GoldenEye 007.
Yes, GoldenEye 007 does, in fact, make the list.
Oh, you know what? When they say 90s, they really mean 97 to 99.
There are quite a few things from the early 90s on here, too.
By the way, I just realized we desperately need a Chris Jericho. You just made the list drop.
Oh, my God. Yes, we do.
We absolutely need that. All right. It's been said a couple of times in our chat. Chrono Trigger.
Oh, Chrono Trigger is not on here.
This is the worst list
you've had to date.
I didn't say it was
this.
A great list. And by the way, there are Super Nintendo games on here, so don't think it's that they just left off Super Nintendo.
All right, let me think. So you said there was some Tetris.
Tetris came out in the 80s.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So no, it did not make the list.
All right, I'm going to go for one that I think might upset these guys as well. Let's go Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid.
Really?
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid is on the list.
Okay, all right.
My theory still rings true. It's 97
it's through
and down.
99, yeah.
I will say you'll get a lot of games from the later 90s, but yeah. Nate, any thoughts?
Super Mario World. I mean, it was objectively one of the hugest games of the 90s.
Yep, Super Mario World from 1990 is on this list. It's actually the first game that they put on here. Norris, over to you.
I don't know. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh.
I mean, you're right.
It objectively should be on this
list. There's no way. Oh.
If it was the top 25 most inappropriate games of the 90s, then yes, it would have made it, but it did not.
There's no way. There's no way that they don't put Toe Jam and Earl on that list, and they do put Conker's Bad Fur Day.
All right, what about Super Smash Brothers?
Super Smash Brothers is absolutely on this list. Again, late 90s, you're not wrong.
Nope. This is somebody's little cousin who wrote this list.
I mean, these are the games I grew up with. I love this list. Nate, over to you.
Let's see. Legend of Zelda.
Well, you're going to need to narrow it down because there were a few in the 90s.
You know which one.
Link to the Past.
Link to the Past is on this list. Absolutely.
Damn right it is.
Yep, it is on here. Norris, over to you.
Come on, get one, Norris.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat is on
there
this list.
Above Street Fighter?
Mortal Kombat makes the list.
Mortal Kombat without Street Fighter.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat is a better game.
We got a Mario Kart on there from the chat?
Mario Kart 64 is on this list. Yes, it is.
That makes sense.
Yep.
What about Super Mario 64?
Super Mario 64 is also on this list.
There's a lot of games that came with the system, I'm noticing.
I'll go ahead and cut you off now. Star Fox 64, not on this list.
Ah, dang.
Well, that...
Norris.
That makes sense.
Donkey Kong Country.
Donkey Kong Country is absolutely on this list.
Wow.
Robbie, over to you.
Oh, boy. Let's go. I'll do one for you, Joe. Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark is not on this list. There is still some Rareware stuff on here. I'll say that much.
All right. I'm going to go with Ocarina of Time, considering you asked me to clarify which Legend of Zelda.
Yes, Ocarina of Time is also on here, but it could have been Majora's Mask.
Come on. No, Ocarina of Time is maybe the best video game ever made.
Yes, Legend of Zelda was one of the two franchises on here that had multiple appearances. You haven't hit the other franchise yet. Norris, over to you.
Oh, gosh. I can't think of anything right now. I am going to say... Mega Man X.
No. There is no Mega Man appearance on here anywhere. I'm sorry to tell you. Robbie.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Banjo-Kazooie is on this list. Absolutely. And again, another late 90s one.
What about Grand Theft Auto? I mean, I feel like Grand Theft Auto 3 was like right on the cusp.
That came out in 01.
In 01.
Did it? 01. Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2 didn't make it.
That's what I get for listening to Mr. Blink.
There you go. Norris, back over to you.
Oh, gosh. I can't think of anything.
Still got some Super Nintendo stuff on here.
I would have to say Mario RPG.
No, Super Mario RPG is not on here. You guys have got the only two... I'm sorry, there were two Mario games on here. You got them both, so well done.
Misleading us.
I did, yeah, but you got them both anyway, so it's fine. Robbie?
Was there a good Doom game that came out in the 90s?
Doom came out in the 90s, and Doom
is
on
this list. I wasn't sure if that was 89, like how exactly early that was.
No, I think Doom was, what, 94?
93.
Mr. Pikmin from the chat. No one's saying Pikmin. No one's putting Pikmin on this list.
Yeah.
Pikmin was
seriously,
wasn't it?
Mr. Blinks is trying to get us to lose on purpose.
All right, we already said it. One more real quick from you guys. What's it going to be?
Oh, man.
It's on Nate.
I'm almost tapped out of recognizable game franchises.
Echo the Dolphin.
Fine, Echo the Dolphin.
No, all right, we're going to run through these. We got Super Mario World and Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, Sonic the Hedgehog, Mortal Kombat, and Doom, which you guys all got. Then there's Super Metroid, which we did not get.
How did we miss?
And I'm currently playing through that on my Switch.
Nobody said Metroid. Yep. That is mind blowing.
Donkey Kong Country, which you guys got. They put Warcraft 1 and 2 together on here as one entry.
That's fair.
Pokemon Red and Blue is on here.
We're so bad at this.
Yeah. Super Mario 64 and Mario Kart 64 you guys got. Resident Evil. Crash Bandicoot.
How do we miss Crash?
Yeah. Diablo. GoldenEye 007 you guys got. Final Fantasy 7, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Spyro, Banjo-Kazooie, StarCraft, Star Wars Rogue Squadron, Metal Gear Solid, Half-Life, Super Smash Brothers, and Star Wars Episode 1 Racer.
I'm sorry.
Yo, what?
What?
From 1999.
Dude,
love that game.
I love that game, too.
Absolutely not.
Say what you want about this material.
No.
Great. I have to shut... Order!
Above Street Fighter?
We have to hear from you on this. Is it preposterous that Star Wars Racer made it on here?
No.
Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, EA Games. Games is coming back to Steam, hat in hand. Does this mean the end of the launcher wars? Please. Please, God. That's coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
EA Games is moving their library of games back to Steam.
Games.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Check out our website over at checkpointxp.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind the scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at checkpointxp.com. EA Games is doing a nice impression of that Loki meme. You must be truly desperate if you come to me for help. And coming back to Steam, hat in hand.
Now, this is on its face, you go, oh, well, that's good news. I'm happy to hear that. But it doesn't mean we're technically out of the water yet. You do still need Origin, I'm sorry to say.
Wait, what?
I've been hearing reports today that you will still require Origin to run some of their games.
No! So Steam is just acting as a sub-launcher for another launcher?
Wait, no. So you know what? This is probably the exact same thing that I had to go through
when
I bought Ghost Recon on Epic Games and still had to download it a second time through Ubisoft's dumb launcher Uplay.
It's
worse. way to let EA just take the wind out of your sails, isn't it? But no.
Here's the thing that's... I don't know. I think that's probably even worse, is that EA is going to count that traffic as coming to their platform. Now they could say, oh, we have so many more users now.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, when you look at this, I have no doubt that both Valve and EA are going to spin this as kind of being like this big hard fought battle where they're like, oh, you know, crazy negotiations behind closed doors to make this happen. But we know what this is. EA took their ball and went home and said, we're going to make our own platform. We don't need you, Steam. We don't need to pay you for having our games on your site. And we're going to make our own platform. And everyone else kind of went, cool, I guess I'll play on console from now on. And that's what's happened over the past year.
And another EA game was never bought on PC again.
It took me a long time before I finally bought anything off of Origins, and it was the Mass Effect collection,
yeah.
But that was only when it went like 90% off.
But also the thing about this is that, you know, we talk about all these companies making these launchers and you know, bifurcating their audience, which again, it's not necessarily a big deal to download a new launcher. The barrier for entry is not like buying a new console.
Right.
We get it. But at the same time, Origin is like the worst launcher on the face of the earth.
I mean, I will say, though, that like having launchers launch other launchers to launch the game,
that's stupid.
So annoying.
That's so
irritating. And like from that perspective, I kind of understand, like, okay, get all of this bloatware off of my computer.
Yes, I completely agree. And I mean, I would like to think that this would at some point be the end of the launcher war, but I'm worried that it's going to be the opposite. I'm worried people are going to see that it's available on Steam, buy the game, and now that they've bought the game, realize they need Origin, so they'll download Origin.
Yeah.
Once they're going to get suckered in buying it on Steam and then realize, I'm screwed.
Well, but
now
that's
Origin.
But low key, that's EA's problem, not even Steam's, because it goes
through
Steam.
Steam's problem.
Yeah, Steam doesn't care. I don't think this necessarily ends the launcher wars, because again, if you have a good launcher, then people will probably get it. For as much hullabaloo as we've seen about the Epic Games launcher, it works.
Yeah, I think what's more likely to happen in that case, Joe, is people like me who went through something like that. I wasn't mad at Epic Games launcher.
Sure.
I was mad at Uplay because that's what came afterwards. So I think people are more likely if that happens, outrage then comes out against EA. I bought my game off Steam. Why do I have to download your launcher now?
Exactly. So the whole concept of them capitulating and going back to Steam isn't necessarily a capitulation at all. If anything, all they did was allow their games to be bought in another store.
Yeah.
That is it. They didn't really change anything. It doesn't change the launcher wars. It just makes it even more convoluted and irritating.
It is fundamentally irritating. Like, it is, to have all of these different disparate pieces of software that each, you know, like some of them run better than others. Uplay runs like total trash. It will suck up resources on your computer. So if you have a less than optimal PC setup, it's really going to be a problem.
And that defeats the purpose of having Steam, because you have Steam to alleviate that issue of having a bajillion different launchers. I launch Steam, Steam launches my game, I start playing. That's what this is supposed to be about. By adding that whole extra layer of Origin, you've defeated the purpose of even making it easier for the consumer at all.
I think it's ridiculous that they just want the market. Like, they just want to they just want to be searchable on Steam because they know that's where the most people are searching for new products.
Yeah.
That's the marketplace that people go to most frequently to be exposed to something new. And I think that is at the very end of the launcher wars, whenever that does happen, if it ever does happen, I think that's what's going to end up being the catalyst.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, like, people will just if they find out that, you know, there's a sub launch or anything, like, they'll just stop buying it. They'll know to stop buying it.
To an extent. I mean, at the end of the day, we look at these launchers and it should be kind of viewed in the same way that we view like GameStop and EB Games and Funko Land and places like that back in the day. The market only bears so many of them. Just like, eventually, the market's only going to bear so many of these launchers, right? Like,
I mean, but you say that, but there's a difference between I have to physically go to a different store or I just have, you know, hard drive space taken up, right? But the barrier for entry is way lower. So I don't think we get to that point from a oversaturation standpoint. I think people will just get frustrated. I don't think it'll be like, you know, true competition between like EB Games and GameStop or Funko Land.
Yeah, but what happens when the company who now has decided, oh, we're going to move away from launchers, it's not the optimal way to release games, we're going to just put them out on Steam from now on. What happens when someone goes to play an older game and now Uplay or Origin is not fundamentally supported by the software developers anymore, right? You go through that every time you play a game that forced Games for Windows Live service on it.
And that's the issue.
You have to mod around that.
Yeah, and that's the issue with having these different launchers, being popped up when you buy your game. That's more of an issue than just, like I said, than just having the space taken up on your hard drive.
Well, see,
because you'll get to a point where, you know, you do want to play the older game. It's not supported by the OS anymore. So now you just have a $60 game sitting there that you can't use.
Right. And I think for me, the ire gets put right back on Steam, because Steam should be the one quality controlling all of this and going, listen, if you want your product on our marketplace, because we understand why it's attractive to have to be on our marketplace, then guess what? You're going to have to strip out all of this bloatware and just give us access to the game files and have us launch directly to the game.
Yeah. And you have to give us Mass Effect 3. We demand Mass Effect 3 on Steam, finally.
And the DLC for 2.
Yeah, and the DLC for 2. Those are the demands that Steam is making towards EA.
You know EA would have never let them do that. Steam saw it was like, oh, okay, there's enough people who want enough EA games. We'll put their stuff on our service, and we kind of don't care what happens after the credit card clears.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. I've also seen reports of people saying, you know, hey, I bought this game, you know, on Steam for X price, and then when it went to Origin, it told me I needed to buy it again, and it was a different price, and I got double charged. Yeah. Like, see, this is where I'm like, you know what? This is where I tap out.
Yeah.
It's not worth the trouble.
By the way, EA reportedly looking to double down on their live services in the upcoming year. They're looking at... massive success financially with Apex Legends and are talking about it. I might be reading this wrong, but talking about it as an annual shooter.
Yeah.
As in like Call of Duty, an annual shooter, or Assassin's Creed, an annual.
In a way, you'll probably be looking at like new seasons, like new big content updates. That's they're saying their development cycle will be shifting instead of Battlefield being their get it out every year shooter. They'll be shifting the development focus to Apex, and getting new seasons out every year for Apex.
What, did nobody play Battlefield?
No. which, again, support what makes you money. So yeah. I'm not mad at them for doing that at all.
It's fair.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. What do you think of EA making the big move back to Steam? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles in the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station like WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. And remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Join us Monday through Friday live at 4 p.m. at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Chad Callahan, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.